I'm Steve McKee. I'm the technical point of contact for cyber topic number N201, TAC-XO2, titled Able Depot Modernization and Sustainment. I want to start off first with some background on the mechanics of the ADAPT program and how to interface with that, and we'll talk about the Navy Cyber STTR site here shortly. Then we'll talk through some background on the topic itself and each of the specific focus areas. Subsequent to that, we'll then open up the floor for questions. As a brief intro, let me do a quick introduction of myself and how we've come to this point, and then we'll start with the ADAPT program background. So again, I'm Steve McKee. I actually work with the Navy's group that deals with ship repair. And specifically, I represent and am part of a group of folks that do maintenance on a variety of different ships and aircraft and ground vehicles out of what's called Naval Sea Systems Command, Naval Aviation Systems Command, and the Marine Corps Logistics Command. And specifically, this group has come together, and we do a whole bunch of different maintenance evolutions on these different activities. And we're going to unpack some of the challenges that we're looking at through the focus areas as we get into the discussion of the second part here, which is really the background of the topic. Before I jump there, let me talk about the ADAPT program and some of the mechanics of how we're looking to approach this. Some of this hopefully is a recap of what you're already aware of, but if you're not, I want to make sure that you have the following data points. Number one, the topic officially opens on Tuesday, the 14th of January. Should hopefully be aware of that, and you hopefully also recognize that it closes on the 12th of February. Now, we know that you must submit, if you're looking for the actual templates themselves, you can go to the Navy Cyber site, and specifically, I think we're sharing the screen here, on the links and forms link on the side of that particular site, if you click on that, roughly about halfway down, there's a section called ADAPT Topic Documents, or Accelerated Delivery an acquisition of prototype technology documents. And specifically, there's two templates that are in there that we have. Please go ahead and complete. Note that by design, this ADAPT topic call is designed to only have 5 pages in your submittal. So this should hopefully be an easy way for you to submit your recommendations and then initially approach the project. Second thing I wanted to talk through is I want to talk through some of the mechanics of the awards, notably the phase one and follow-on phases here. Specifically, the phase one will only have a base period. There is no option for phase one, unlike some other CBRs if you've ever dealt with those in the past. And also, this base will only have a cost not to exceed $200,000 with a period of performance of 4 months. And we'll explain why that's important here in just a little bit. For those that also may be familiar with the SBIR program, there will not be any discretionary technical and business assistance included as part of the Phase 1 award. As you do your submittal for this particular project call, or this topic area, note that you must identify a primary focus area, but you may include secondary focus areas as they may be applicable. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit more detail here shortly. Additionally, be advised that the government, the DOD, is coming through some new systems, but you will be submitting your proposal, and it's all detailed on the Navy Cyber site. You'll be submitting them through a DOD portal, and it's called, make sure I get this right, the DSIP. And for those that may be taking some notes, it's at https://www.dodsbirstr.mil/permission/login. And again, you can find all this information on the Navy Cyber site. But again, I want to make sure that you recognize that there's a little bit of a change if you're familiar with the previous SBIR efforts there. Understand that some of you may have submitted previous or are currently funded on SBIR efforts. I would ask you to help us understand that as you generate your proposals and submit that, so that we can hopefully address the Navy needs that are identified in this particular topic. If you do have any questions on this, I would encourage you to reach out to the DOD SBIR STTR help desk. Again, their contact information is online, but there is also a phone number that may be of help, and that's 703-214-1333. A couple of the minor pieces on the mechanics of the ADAPT program before we proceed forward. For small businesses, understand cash flow is a significant concern. This ADAPT program from a payment schedule is intended to provide 50% of the funding on the front end within 15 days of the start of the base award, 35% within 90 days, and then the remaining balance at the 120-day mark, which is, again, the four-month period of performance that we're looking at there. As you may have some more questions on the mechanics of the ADAPT topic, I ask that you go ahead and submit them on the chat function of this particular application, and we'll take those in turn after we come through the background on the specific topic and the focus areas here. So that's all I intended to cover for today's purposes in regards to the mechanics of the ADAPT topic. So thank you for that. So jumping on to the second facet of where I'd like to go today is I wanted to provide some background on the creation of this particular topic and the focus areas. And for those that may not be familiar with the Navy sustainment environment, I want to offer to you that the shipyards and the fleet readiness centers and the log bases span a tremendous geography. They span from Hawaii, where we've got shipyards, among other things, all the way over to New England, where, again, we've got another shipyard, to, you know, Florida, where we've got naval aviation repair actually happening, as well as up into western Washington. And I want to make sure that you all understand this, because from a geographical perspective, we're dealing with a dispersed industry base, which is great, but we're also dealing with variations in temperature and humidity and weather climates that, you know, obviously we are getting snow probably in New England right now, and definitely not getting that over in Hawaii. And you'll also recognize the different topographies that we're talking about. Some are flatter than others. And again, I want to make sure that you understand that as you approach these particular focus areas in this particular topic. Also want to make sure that you understand when we refer to platforms in the topic, we're talking about the different systems upon which we actually affect our maintenance. Notably, we're talking about the different types of ships, whether those be nuclear or non-nuclear powered ships. Talking about different types of aircraft, whether that be fixed wing or rotary wing aircraft. We're also talking about different types of vehicles, wheeled and track vehicles, as well as other equipment that support all of those enterprises. So again, for general awareness, platforms really is expansive, but they're effectively those systems that we affect maintenance on. So with that as a backdrop, let me give you a quick story so that you understand how we came to this particular topic area and understand how we've crafted the particular focus areas. And notably, I talk about the shipyards and the fleet readiness centers that do aviation maintenance. We talk about the Marine Corps Logistics Command that deals with vehicle and other types of maintenance. We had a wonderful opportunity here last year to bring those folks together and have a discussion about how we need to go transform, or how we would like to go transform, the way in which we do our maintenance. And doing so in a coordinated and in a synchronized manner, we came up with a number of different functions that we said, hey, we really would like to go achieve these types of capabilities. We racked and stacked it and sifted through it. And the result of all of that came into the focus areas that you see embodied in this particular topic. So as you look at this, as you look at, hey, I've got a solution that may work for the aviation community, that's great. I want to make sure that it also may work for the ship community and the ground vehicle community, so that we have that transcendence of application as best as possible. On the line today, I know we have a number of entities from those shipyards and from those fleet readiness centers and from those log bases to listen in on the discussion and so forth. But again, I recognize that some of the challenges that we face are truly not unique to an individual site. And if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that they span well beyond the Navy, the sustainment enterprise, and impact a number of other folks as well. So with that note, I wanted to kind of expand on that and say, I know we've had some discussions, and we're actually engaging in significantly more discussions with the Air Force and with the Army and some other federal entities to actually go align some more these need statements. And we'll talk a little bit later here about some of the project calls that you may be familiar with from the Air Force and from the Army and DLA and DARPA. Got it. But again, I would offer to you that the focus areas that are advanced or advocated in this particular topic area, we recognize that they're not unique to the DOD. And if we're truly honest with ourselves, they also pose a wonderful opportunity for dual-use functionality, so well beyond the DoD. And the reason that this is important is that we believe that if we can help solve this problem from the Navy's vantage, that from a small business perspective, there is a value proposition, there's a market for your solution well beyond just the Navy. And specifically, we think that there's implication and implementation opportunities in the what we call the industrial base, the defense industrial base of the larger companies that are out there and other places that, that may need these types of solutions, whether those be shipping or travel or leisure or what have you. There's countless other different applications that we would encourage you to consider as you're crafting your particular proposals. Go on to my next piece here. As I mentioned, we crafted this particular topic with and these particular focus areas, recognizing that we have these particular needs. And we also understand that many of these needs are interrelated. I've spoken to a number of vendors that, that say, hey, we think we can kind of answer part one over here, you know, maybe focus area X and focus area Y. Is there a problem in answering or addressing more than one focus area? And I would encourage you all to recognize that, that we understand that at its ultimate development, that these all are interrelated. And we encourage you, as you may have a solution or a proposal that addresses one or more of these topics, please help us understand that. Please help us understand what's possible. And as you submit your proposals, we talked about it a bit ago, identify your, you know, your primary one that you're addressing, but also address identify the other one or two or three or however many your proposal may be addressing. That will help us understand where your focus is and ultimately, hopefully, help us get to achieving these capabilities. We come to this forum, and I offer this with respect to the industrial base, both the folks that are not small businesses as well as the folks that are on this line that are on, that are small businesses. We recognize that there are current industry leaders in many of these particular focus areas, and that is absolutely fantastic. And there are ongoing discussions between the Navy and a number of these entities right now. But we also recognize that the small business community is unique. It's unique in the standpoint that they are frequently generating the next generation of solutions that the larger organizations will ultimately embrace. It's the next generation of solutions that the Navy is seeking. And we come to this forum humbly asking for you folks to help us understand what's possible, what's reasonable for us to go achieve as we look to go address these particular capability requests that are embodied in the focus areas of this particular topic. Understand that the Air Force right now has a number of different topics that are out there, and they administer their phase one markedly different than the Navy does.
I'm trying to stall because I want to catch as much of this webinar as possible.
Somebody's got a lot of mic. If you would, please go ahead and use that. I would appreciate it. Notably, the Air Force asked in their phase one for a vendor to go identify a customer within the Air Force that, that would be interested in their product. And that is, there's a lot of wisdom associated with that approach. For this particular topic call, we've taken a different tact. And notably, I would offer to you that, again, we've got shipyards, we have fleet readiness centers, and we have logistics bases right now that are yearning for these solutions. We're not asking you to go find a customer. We come to you as the customers seeking these solutions. So please note this is a difference than the way that the Air Force is applying this. And, again, we look forward to partnering with those folks that are, you know, selected for Phase 1 award and beyond to make sure that we can achieve the outputs that are desired. The other piece I would offer to you is that, that we recognize that a number of these focus areas may be an early TRL, but may I please impress upon you this idea that we're not seeking to pursue an endless research project. We're seeking these solutions as quickly as we possibly can to go address readiness improvements that we're seeking in the maintenance environments of the shipyards and the fleet readiness centers and the log bases. So this is not intended to just be a solely research-focused piece, but ultimately we're trying to figure out how to go rapidly come through the phase one, the phase two, and ultimately into the phase three commercialization and the fielding of these capabilities long-term. So as you approach this, we ask in your proposals to help us understand how you anticipate and how we can help partner to get this all the way through phase three. Not just do research, but to get this into a fielded capability for our depots. Okay? A few other items that I want to make sure that you folks are tracking. We've received, I've had a number of discussions with different vendors. We honestly don't know how many proposals we're going to receive. And we've got a team of folks that are meeting next week, and we're going to talk about how we divide and conquer. You know, if we get five proposals or we get many, many hundreds of proposals, we truly don't know. And I will tell this forum and anyone else that we will be respectful of each and every one of those proposals that you take the time to submit, because we have these needs and we're seeking your solutions to implement them in our activities. But I also want to make sure that I'm above board with you folks and to say that we won't be able to select all of them, right? So we will inevitably have to go down select and award a limited number of those projects. We're not certain exactly how many will be awarded. Nominally, we're thinking that it may be somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12. This is still something that's being discussed internal to the Navy. But I want to offer to you folks that however many we get, we will do our due diligence to review those, and we will make sure that we try to identify those proposals as they're presented to us that we think will provide the biggest and the best capability impact as quickly as possible. So we can get those, again, through to phase three. So as your proposal may target and explain that transition path and explain how we can get there quickly, that will be hugely beneficial for us as we look at evaluating those proposals. A few other questions that I want to make sure that I answer from a holistic perspective before we dive into the focus areas. Rest assured, as we look at some of the data-specific focus areas, we will not be providing classified data. All of this will be unclassified. All of this will be approved through the right protocols to make sure that we safeguard your interests as well as the government's interests. We understand also that many of these will require a cyber or an algorithmic type of a solution. And we understand that that will then necessitate all of the federal government's proper cybersecurity requirements. And so we're still working on some of this and who's going to own the authority to operate, who's going to submit all the pieces and so forth. That's on the Navy. We're still working through that. But rest assured that is part of our calculus and part of our considerations. The last thing I would offer in regards from a cyber perspective is we understand that, especially with the phase one, that it will likely have to, if there's a cyber piece to it, likely have to come out as a standalone type of a laptop or device, that it won't be some web-based solution. Fully recognize and support that, especially if we look to go evaluate efficacy for phase one transitions to phase two and beyond. But I would anticipate that in many of these cases, that especially given the dispersion of our sites and the variety of our operations, that as we look into the later rounds of a phase two, that some sort of cloud-based solution, whatever platform one might consider, would be appropriate. So just, again, factor that into your calculus as you may be assembling proposals. So with that as the backdrop for the overarching portions of this particular topic, let's dive into each of the focus areas, and I'll try to be fairly brief but provide some context so that as you consider crafting a proposal for one or more of these focus areas, you can understand where our thoughts are. So with that, let's jump into focus area number one. The title of that is called Expeditionary Depot Capability. And I would offer to you the general concept behind this is in present day, we currently take our assets and bring them back to the depot. And those depots, again, are located between Hawaii and New England and Florida and the Northwest. Our goal is to try to go take that capability to go do all of the repairs and all of the assessments and so forth and push that closer to where those platforms may actually need those types of repairs. So that may be in the middle of the Pacific. That may be over in the desert someplace or in other theaters or fields well away from the continental United States. As we talk about this, we ultimately are curious, what's possible? What's something that we might be able to go do at distance that would entail potentially precision measurements, non-destructive testing, coating removal or reapplication systems, metal or composite repairs, and a variety of other functions that you may think are appropriate. We recognize that we need to have also in this a level of modularity. In some cases, I may not have the need for a specific function at a location, but I may have a different unique need at another site. One of the discussions I've had talked about, you know, maybe these are, you know, conceptually something like Legos and they're modular in that type of a fashion. But we're seeking your input. We're seeking your understanding or thoughts on how we could go take our depot repair activities that are currently happening here inside of the continental United States and even in Hawaii and pushing those much further forward. If you're looking for a conceptual model on this, besides the Lego pieces that we're talking about, I would offer to you that if you consider we've been conducting drone operations to go do intelligence and surveillance and reconnaissance for many, many years. And we're taking, you know, maneuver actions and other actions over there, and we're doing it through an interface that's safely housed, you know, here in the United States and operating on the other side of the world. So those same ideas of being able to manipulate motors or manipulate other types of interfaces and receive real-time information, we would like to apply that to the maintenance environment. So I think I have one other point on this one before I'm done with focus area one and we'll move on. There's reference in the topic area, in this particular focus area, about airdroppable. I offer to those that are considering submitting a proposal for this particular focus area that's a portion of a trade space. In phase one, it may not be airdroppable. But the concept behind that is that we need to be able to rapidly deploy it and rapidly emplace it. So that concept is, you know, hey, can I put it in the back of a military aircraft or carry it on a helicopter and position it rapidly? That's ultimately what that's intended to get to. I don't have, or I desire not to have, you know, days or weeks of setup time to go create this or build this, but to, as rapidly as possible, manifest this capability in the space where I need it, and then potentially pick it up and move it as I may need a different, need that function someplace else. So that's my general summary and synopsis of focus area one. Let me jump over next to focus area number two, which is the AI-generated work instructions. I'm going to grab some water here. It's working thin. Okay, general concept behind this is we have, in all of our depots, we have a variety of different repairs that are constantly being done. In some cases, the repairs are infrequent, and I think on a ship maintenance perspective, there may be, you know, every 10, 15 years you go do a certain evolution. And we actually end up seeing a significant turnover in our workforce, and you end up with a loss of institutional knowledge right now because of that infrequency. Same thing happens in other environments. But we recognize that there's a treasure trove of data that has been amassed over many, many years, decades arguably, that we're trying to anticipate and capture and synthesize so that as we come upon that infrequent repair, we can truly leverage the entire body of knowledge that exists on how we've done that in the past. And in some cases, it may be not necessarily the same job, but it may be a similar job from which we need to distill a certain element and factor it into our repair protocols. So that's the general thought behind this one. I would offer to you that, going through some questions that we've received here, we don't have necessarily a standard format, specifically SD-1000D or anything like that, but we do anticipate making available some level of data to determine efficacy during phase one. Also anticipate this whole discussion about, you know, standalone versus web-based. We'll come through the cyber pieces on that. Let's see here, what else we've got. Oh, if your solution presently already has some level of certifications or other credentials, so if you have an ATS or FIPS or an authority to operate in other environments, if you would please ensure that you note that on your proposals, that would help us understand your credentialing along that path. Let's see here. So we did also receive a few questions in regards to work instruction and repair publications, if those would be made available to specific vendors. We're still reviewing how to potentially provide those and the appropriate data to help make sure that the solution that is advanced on this particular focus area truly meets the objectives. Also received a question about how do we currently transfer best practices and capture that information presently. And I can speak up to a degree from a ship vantage is we have a number of different data systems that captures that information. Nominally or arguably we have comparable systems on the other sides of the house as well. But typically it pulls down the last few jobs and allows us to only look at a subset of the data where a larger or a broader look would provide greater input. Let's see here. Who's it intended to help affect and improve? And we've had a lot of discussions on this one here as it relates to these work instructions. And we have a very large number of engineers that help deal with the work instructions. So I would answer your question as it would ultimately aid the engineering folks, but it would also ultimately aid the production folks that may be fixing a specific component or specific aspect on a platform and make sure that they understand, hey, here's the history, this is the recommendation, and hopefully shorten the cycle for the development of that repair protocol. There's also been some discussion about achieving a level of comfort or confidence in this type of an algorithm. And we recognize innately that we will have to gain a level of confidence with the system. So initially we would anticipate that there is a human in the loop making decisions and so forth. And at some point in the future, maybe there's a human on the loop that's just monitoring and making sure everything works well. So again, a number of different questions that we've received on focus area number two. Hopefully that provides some background on what we're trying to achieve and answer some of the common questions that we've received today. So with that, I'd like to shift over to focus area number three and provide a general concept of the self-healing data collection. So on this particular topic here, we understand that there's a wide variety of data that are out there and that in some cases the data are, and again, I don't believe this is unique to the Navy or unique to the DOD. I believe that we have the same thing that industry has, where we have a number of different data elements that may be similar, but are, from a data perspective, they look different. And trying to go massage that data or heal that data to allow us to enable future algorithmic types of functions to go create work instructions or to create a number of other types of approaches. We would anticipate that from a data perspective, the essence of this and what's being provided would be comparable or similar to what's being provided in focus area number two, and so that you'd be able to run your algorithms and verify the vibrancy of those algorithms. We did receive a few questions on this particular focus area that I wanted to highlight in this forum. Specifically, they're talking about, let's talk about part numbers. We talked specifically in the focus area about remedying part numbers. And the thought behind this is we have a massive and a wonderful structure that allows us to uniquely identify different parts. But in the past, we've had some data entry errors that have caused us to get, in some cases, the incorrect parts. And the hope would be that this self-healing data collection effort would help us to discern, oh, the part that you really want is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as opposed to 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, which has been, in the past, erroneously order. Similarly, there's a reference in this particular focus area to root causes, and specifically, where that those data maintain, and how do we envision seeing this ultimately come to fruition. I would offer to this forum and to anybody considering this particular focus area that our hopes are that you would be able to take a look at some of the data that we have and see those trends for which our human evaluation efforts have not been able to produce a level of collaboration or corroboration, and specifically see some of those trends that right now are not perceptible to us. Again, all of this under the title of self-healing data collection, with the intention of trying to go remedy or prepare these data for further algorithms in the future. That's focus area number three. Shift over to focus area number four, go through the robotics material handling. General concept behind this is we have in all of our depots a wide variety of parts and materials that are being moved constantly. It's truly like an organism that's moving blood, parts, and platelets and everything else all over the place, constantly in motion. And so this particular one talks about looking and finding a scalable solution that is cost-effective to move between, potentially warehouse areas and where the actual work is done. Now, again, as a point of clarification for this for everybody, the topographies are different. They are not in indoor areas, so you'd anticipate weather conditions that may play into that, whether that be rain or snow or tornadoes. You probably could probably safeguard that one off to this side. But sincerely, we're talking about different topographies and different climate impacts. You're talking about obstacles that may be in the path, such that you may have people or you may have things that move just given the dynamic nature of the way in which we do our maintenance operations. We did receive an inquiry or a question on this particular focus area related to satellite tracking, and I wanted to provide to everybody online today the expectation that our mental models are such that we may initially say, hey, we don't know that satellite tracking is the best solution on this. But if you have a solution that necessitates that satellite tracking and you think that it's scalable and it would be applicable to all the different sites that we're looking at, please help us understand. Please broaden our understanding and apertures to say, hey, this solution may be the one that we need to go forward with in order to meet our material handling requirements and move things from point A to point B at all these different sites. So that's what I have for focus area number four. Again, the robotics material handling. Let's jump over next to focus area number five. This is the integrated global logistics network to allow for model-based enterprise. General concept behind this is as the Navy and the industry as well have created these model-based renditions of their operations, we recognize the need to integrate these, to synthesize them, and to ultimately manage them at a much broader level. So as we look at this, we understand also that there's different model types and so forth as we're trying to create this unified picture. This model-based enterprise exists in industry. It exists within the Navy, and we're looking for methods that would allow us to fuse those in a manner that would create the common operating picture internal to individual sites, individual organizations, and across the Navy. That's what this topic, this focus area generally is trying to go after. Not received any questions or specifics on this particular focus area, so I don't have any other details to offer, but that's the general concept, is taking the digital models that are out there and figuring out how to fuse those together to create that integrated network view of how we actually do our operations. Focus area number six, global parts tracking system. I would offer to you, if you're, and we're becoming more sensitized to this as well, we understand that NAVSUP enables Supply Center, Systems Command, the Defense Logistics Agency, DARPA, the Air Force, the Warner Robins Air Logistics Complex, and others are all pursuing similar types of things. I would offer to you that our thinking is generally in that same vein, but this is an opportunity to potentially go advance on this idea of I need to make sure that I understand where certain parts are and that I can bring them to bear at a specific location in order to go timely and rapidly repair certain items. So from that standpoint, this global parts tracking is intended to afford an opportunity to say, okay, not only do I know where that item is at site X, but in its optimal layout, it's in this building, on this row, in this bin, at this elevation, here's the quantity. And that's, again, a nirvana that I know that many folks, both inside of the Navy and the DOD and even industry, are trying to pursue. So, again, if you have an amazing solution that would help us in this regard, we ask that you, again, please submit that solution so that we can consider it as part of your proposals. Focus area number seven, facility health monitoring and prioritization. The general concept behind this one relates to an industrial Internet of Things, this idea of interconnected buildings and systems and so forth, and being able to understand how those systems interoperate. Conceptually, we've got a number of folks that right now go out and do amazing work to make sure that our buildings and our structures are completely viable and maintained and so forth. And so we dispatch legions of folks, and obviously an exaggeration there, countless folks to go out and look at these, the structural integrities and the mechanical systems and the water and electrical systems and all these other facets. And as they're able to make discernments and say, hey, we need to go do repairs here, there, and everywhere. This particular topic says, hey, are there a set of sensors and a system whereby we might be able to have more ready understanding of the health of those buildings, and then also be able to say, okay, hey, I've got something that happened over here. We need to take more immediate response as opposed to periodically dispatching a team to go survey those particular buildings. This is exceedingly important as we look at potential emergency preparedness or emergency types of operations. As we look at, earthquakes, so I'm out of the Pacific Northwest, and you have earthquakes that happen up here. And being able to readily understand the state of that particular facility in the ability to go restart maintenance operations in that particular structure or that particular facility. Again, this is intended not only for the structures themselves and the support pieces, the infrastructure, but also the machinery that may be in those particular spaces. I've not received any questions of note specific to this particular focus area, but that's the general gist of focus area number 7. Okay, let's jump to focus area number 8, master command and control for multiple activity visibility. Again, if you look at this discussion of the focus area number 5, focus area number 6, if you look at focus area number 7, focus area number 8 attempts to try to synthesize and fuse all of these into a single common operating picture to allow for the understanding from a Navy perspective of, hey, I need to go repair a specific platform. If a specific facility, facility A, doesn't have the capability or has an earthquake event or some other type of an event, how can I shift that function over to facility B, and do they have the infrastructure and the capacity to go make that happen? If you will, the cherry on top of all a number of these other focus areas. Again, the ability to have that real-time awareness and the flexibility to be able to make decisions and so forth to continue to increase and attend to the readiness requirements that we have for the Navy. No questions have come up of substance that I want to offer to this forum for today on focus area number 8. So let me then shift over to focus area number 9, provide a general concept here, and then we'll open it up for some questions. Focus area number 9 relates to cold spray technology advancements. And for those that may be involved in the cold spray field, you recognize that there's countless different efforts that are pushing forward this technology. What we're seeking here, and the general concept behind this, is we're seeking the next generation of thinking and application for how we actually do cold spray. So we're looking at additional powders, potentially. We're looking at the miniaturization of those particular application methods. We're looking at unique application methodologies that would allow us to go use this type of a function in a way in which maybe to date we haven't even considered. So, again, this all talks about, potential construction or preservation, a number of different things. We're asking for your insight, your perspective on how we could go use this and develop the next wave or next generation of capabilities associated with cold spray. So with that as good heavens, a 40-minute intro here to both the topic, the mechanics of the ADAPT program, the focus areas, and so forth, I want to pause, and I specifically want to talk about any questions that may be out there associated with the mechanics of the ADAPT program. So, Ellen, can you help us out with any questions that you may have on the mechanics of the ADAPT program?
Yes, I posted them in the Slack channel. There's two questions, one on focus area 7 and one on the work instructions.
Okay, so let me see. So nothing on this device here. Messenger. So Zoom chat is what I'm looking at then. Let's see, folks, are you looking primarily for sensors relevant to combat damage? Example, structural safety or maintenance, leaky pipes. This is from Mr. Parker. I would offer, so this isn't necessarily on the mechanics of the ADAPT program, but I would offer that we are, for our focus, looking notably for the maintenance piece, so the leaky pipes, but we also agree that the structural safety and so forth of those systems is inherently in our interest as well. So if you have a solution that spans both, great. If you have a solution that only spans one of those two, we'll happily entertain that as a proposal and consider it, because invariably, in all of our cases, we're dealing with structural repairs as well. So topic nine, Mr. Bloom, are you looking for improvements at US depots and deployed areas or just deployed areas? For topic area nine, the first order of impact is specifically at our bases here within the United States. We would anticipate that as we prove those out, as we validate those, that they would then ultimately then extend into those deployed areas. But the first point of application would be at our organic bases. I see another question here from, looks like Streets J. Can you provide details about the data that will be made available for focus area three, solution development? Can you provide types of fields that will be provided? Will maintainers notes and fields be included? For phase one solution, how many and which fields should be the focus of self-healing efforts, corrective actions, deficiencies, part numbers, so forth? So to that specific question, we're still trying to discern what that data set will look like. So I don't necessarily have it. If you have specific recommendations that you think would be advantageous, I encourage you to include them in your proposal. And we'll have some discussions with those depots here this next week to see if we can't potentially provide a little bit more specificity and potentially answer that via a CITIS inquiry here starting the 14th of January. Thank you for the question. The second part of the question was, are there particular weapon systems that should be the focus for our phase one solution? On that particular note, again, as we talk about the genesis of this particular topic, understand that what we will likely do as part of answering this is we will provide you data from multiple different systems, but not necessarily a single system, as we're looking for solutions that cross multiple platforms. And in that vein, again, we haven't decided exactly which platforms. We're going to be obviously very sensitive to what data is provided, given some of our platforms, but more to follow in that regard. So not necessarily a single platform, but I would encourage as you consider your proposal that you would be receiving multiple types of platforms to see how your algorithm would perform. Okay, so the question I have here, we posted from above, when trying to generate the work instructions, are you relying on technical manuals or maintenance work notes or a combination of both? Absolutely, it's not a single input. There's multiple inputs associated with how we do our maintenance. So the answer would be book. Okay, let's see here. Question from Evan Lally. How do you recommend we plan our work around the Navy supply data? Would you like us to suggest what kind of data we'll need as part of the phase one proposal? I think to Evan's question here, I think that's reasonable that you would expect a certain amount of data or certain types of data. And if you can help us understand what your parameters are, that will help us make sure that we do the proper interface to determine that efficacy. Evan, thank you for that question. Another one reposted from before, do the part numbers come with any description as to their features? That absolutely can be made available. If they have features coming with the name, how does these features are described in a database or text? This is related to topic three, self-healing data collection using AI. So we haven't discerned exactly what fields would be provided with the data sets. As part of your proposal, if you would encourage us to provide not only the part numbers, but some level of description, I'm certainly can probably find a data set that would be agreeable to run the algorithms on. So again, please let us know what data fields you would need. Next question I've got here. Where are there different focus areas listed for future reference for this call. Ah, wonderful question. So if you go to the NavyCyber.com site, you'll actually find this particular topic number again. It's N201-X02. And specifically, you'll see each of those focus areas listed, and you'll see a description of those focus areas posted on the ADAPT project column, that particular topic. Thank you for that question. From Merrick Campbell, at the beginning of the webinar, you called for avoiding web and cloud-based solutions for remote sensors. Does this preclude setting up a local network? Oh, this one's a little prickly. I think that we can support a limited scale pilot for a local network as we look at phase one. As we look broader at phase two, there's some cyber pieces that we will have to come through, some verification and so forth to make sure that we maintain the efficacy of our organic networks at present. But I think to your specific question, I would anticipate that we could set up an enclave where you would be able to demonstrate and do your work. Hopefully that answers your question. From Tyler Kwan, let's see here. We did email questions to Topic 7 prior to the start of the webinar. I believe from Epsilon, I think I've captured the essence of that. If for Tyler and the Epsilon team, if I've missed that or I've skipped over a couple of questions, please let me know. I've got a few more that have come in here. Focus Area 7, are you asking for performance analytics for equipment, pumps, motors, refrigeration, air handling, et cetera, contained within buildings? And if so, are you asking for repair management systems to act upon the results of the analytics? This is from Rick. So, Rick, we are seeking to understand the art of the possible. I believe if it's possible to gather that data, synthesize that data, and then ultimately affect or input to a repair management system, that would be ideal. That may be too far for where the technology is today. It may be a CRL1. I don't know. So help us understand if that's indeed achievable, and if it is, how we could get to that. So the answer to your question is yes, and ultimately, I guess the last part here, yes, act upon the results and the analytics. Yes, the answer is yes to your question there, correct. Jerry Castanos, Focus Area 2, what is the most important technical requirement to meet? Oh, good heavens. For AI-generated work instructions, the Focus Area number 2. This is a difficult question because each of our platforms have different stakeholders, and they would each advocate that their technical requirements are the most important. From the standpoint of returning these assets and these platforms back to the people that actually operate them, right? We want to make sure that they are fully repaired, fully tested, and fully ready to do their mission. So if from a technical requirement perspective, we need to ensure that the quality assurance is built into the process so that we understand that when this is all said and done, that those platforms operate the way that they're supposed to. Hopefully that answers your question now. From S. Gano, question, robotics material handling, does this only concern physically moving materials? Would implementing automated warehouse or inventory management systems be at all considered for Focus Area 4? Great question. Would offer that I think that is an absolute add-on to this, and invariably in order to move material, you have to know that you actually have it and know where it is. So we would see that as an add-on that would be absolutely desired if it's reasonable within the time frame and the price points associated with this particular topic. Paul. Okay, let's see here. Next question we have from SREE. Focus area number 3, are you looking to treat the symptoms, muddy data problems, or addressing the root cause of both? I'm going to answer your question this way because it's a nuanced question from my vantage. We have a number of different data systems that are out there that are, in many cases, disjointed at present. There's efforts to try to get fused those. We would anticipate that changing the human interface with that, at least on the front end, will be a little bit difficult. So we would anticipate that if I put in information, that it would go in there showing that I've input that info. And ideally that self-healing would come in and say, okay, Steve messed this up and it needed to have actually said this, and ultimately it gets corrected, but we wouldn't necessarily lose the baseline info. So I, as the user, would have muddied that data set. Specifically, though, the intention behind that data is what we're trying to get to. That allows us to make those decisions from a go-forward perspective. So, again, I would offer that we're not necessarily going to change that human input on the front end for this particular project call, but ultimately go heal it on the back end is the goal. So from Tyler Kwan out of Epsilon, do you plan to make any direct to phase two awards? Great question. And this one, if we have Megan Stokes that's able to voice in, Megan, I'd like to turn that one over to you. I believe the answer to be yes, but I wanted to defer to you if you're online.
Sorry, I had to unmute there. So my name is Megan. I am a support contractor, and I support the Navy's SBIR program through their program management office. This is in response to Tyler's question on direct to phase two.
Yes.
So for these two particular ADAPT topics that are advertised right now, the one that we're talking about during this webinar, and 201-X02, and then there's also an X01 topic, we will not be doing direct to phase two awards. So these will be awarded as phase ones for a four-month effort, and then those participants selected to move forward will submit a full phase two proposal at that time. So these won't go direct to phase two.
Megan, thank you. Hopefully that answers the question there from Tyler. So next question I've got on the chat here is for focus area number three. Would there be a private cloud setup available to demonstrate the solution? For the purposes of the phase one efforts, I would encourage you to include that as part of your proposal, that you would provide that cloud. Again, from a government perspective, it gets a little challenging. But include that as part of your proposal that you would set up that your own private cloud to go demonstrate that. Next question we have from Sarah Blackmer, focus area number four. Would the robotic vehicle have to pick up items from a shelf in a warehouse or just move equipment from a warehouse point to the work area? So this is where I kind of come back to our discussions of, please help us understand what's possible. Ideally, you've got Wall-E, right, the little robot that Disney had in their video, that's able to go out and pick it up and put it on its payload thing and move it to wherever it needs to do and offload it, and maybe it sings the tune while it does that. I don't know. So ideally, the answer would be yes. But again, I come asking to you folks, what's possible, what's reasonable, given the funding scopes and the time frames that we're looking for this particular project? Okay, so hopefully, Sarah, that answers your question. Let's see here. Harold. Let's go to Kenneth Parker. Phase two, will the government facilitate with cross-category partnering in phase two? So, Kenneth Parker, Mr. Parker, can you help us understand a little bit more what you're seeking there, sir? Help us with your chat there. I would appreciate it.
So am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So the question was, if I submit something in phase six, category six and seven, but it needs to integrate closely with category two or three, in phase two, will the government be partnering people or facilitating with partnering?
And by partnering, you're referring to between different vendors. Is that correct?
That is what I mean, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're talking the same thing. We have a vested interest in making sure that this works. We will absolutely help make sure that whatever liaison needs to happen between vendors, between different entities, actually occur. Hopefully that answers your question, sir.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Got a few other questions that are coming in here. From high area number three, is the input data structured data from the database or not structured data from a text report? Okay. Yes. So the answer for the self-healing data would be that it would largely be from a database or a variety of databases. So I would anticipate that that would be the general answer. We may have some data, and again, we're still culling through as to what the inputs would be that may not be structured, but I think for the purposes of your proposal, you could anticipate that the data would be exported out of a data system, database. The second passage through this question relates to, should the developed algorithm run on a local PC? Okay, second question is yes. I would encourage you to, it would be run on a not connected computer, at least from a phase one perspective. Again, this goes back to the initial piece being demonstrated on a isolated system. And then as we look beyond phase one into phase two, we look to broaden the applicability and the network. The third facet to his question, should the healed data be stored in the database? That's a great question for which we don't yet have the answer. There's been some discussions that I've been having with the number of folks that own some of those data systems, and I don't know yet. For the purposes of your proposal, you can leave that as a point of further clarification or make the assumption that ultimately it gets stored in a government data system. I think that's reasonable. I don't know at present which data system that might be, more to follow on that one for those that would proceed on that particular focus area. Okay, let's see here. Let's go to three. Can we respond to multiple focus areas in a single white paper? Yes, okay, so again, as we started this discussion today, we talked about how this, each of these focus areas are ultimately facets of, different facets of the same gem, and they're interrelated in many regards. So from that vantage, we would anticipate that you could apply to, again, a primary focus area and then identify those other focus areas that may be applicable. So absolutely encourage you to do that as a single white paper, or you're welcome to submit multiples if you'd like. Okay. So from Chris Van Valkenburg, it's a name I'm very familiar with here. Will there be multiple awards for each topic? Do you have an idea on how many might be awarded in phase one, two, and three? As mentioned previously, I would offer to the forum here that we're still in discussions with the Navy. We conceptually think that there's roughly about 10 to 12-ish, it may go up, it may go a little bit down from there, phase one awards. Again, determining that number is still on us to figure out. But also, as we look at coming through that phase one evolution, we need to determine efficacy. We don't know yet how many of those will prove viable, but we want to get in that four-month time frame and shake it and understand, hey, this is worthwhile. We're going to double down on it. We're going to take this now to a phase two. Or, hey, this doesn't quite look as good as we were initially thinking, and say, okay, after 4 months, thank you very much, and then shift over to a specific, different area. So nominally for the number of awards for phase one, 10 to 12-ish, plus or minus quite a bit, don't know. For phase two and three, is still to be determined. As we look at coming through the various rounds in phase two, and we look at the way that the product or the solution performs. Thank you, Chris, for the question. Another question from Sarah here, from Sarah Blackmore, focus area number four. Given the varying facilities that supply would need to move around, is there a sample or notional site that we should use as a case for demonstration? Okay, thank you for that question. This is actually a great one because we would anticipate, at least for a phase one, that we would demo at or potentially use a reasonable site. As we get into the various rounds of phase two, we talk about demonstrating multiple locations. So in those, we would anticipate that you would get into more difficult topography, more challenging obstacles and so forth that system would have to negotiate. So phase one, yes, we would identify a fairly straightforward site. In subsequent rounds of phase two, I would anticipate increasing complexities. So Sarah, thank you for that question. Let's see if there's other questions here. So again, I'll hold online for any other questions that may be out there. Hold on one second here. But again, please submit your questions as you may have them. Okay. Again, we'll hold on the line here, but for those that may drop off for the discussion today, I wanted to ensure that you understand that we will take this webinar. It has been recorded for everybody's benefit. We will post it up on the Navy Cyber site so that if you'd like to go back and review any of the questions or the responses or want to watch me talk through the various topics, you're welcome to do that. But we'll get that posted in the next series of days, and so you'll have that as a reference. Another question that came in. Let's see here. Focus area number four. This is from Sarah Blackmer. Focus area number four. How about size of supply that we would be moving around? Any help describing what we would be moving? Okay. This is another one for which I would anticipate that help us understand what the parameters are, the trade space. Again, given the time frame, given the funding that's allocated for these particular topic in these focus areas, maybe the answer is you get a mobile platform that is of X by Y dimensions and is able to pick up Z pounds. Perfect. Understand, got it, and that gives us an understanding of what that initial capability is. We have, and I can think of shift repair items that require massive amounts of lifting and handling types of equipment. So just help us understand from your proposal where you would anticipate the general box, the dimensional tolerance and the payload weight capacities might be so that we can understand how effective it would be in transporting the variety of different things that we move from our warehouses to our points of maintenance. So Sarah, hopefully that answers your question. Yes, I think that's it. Okay, so next one from Sri. Is this CBER open to joint industry academia partnerships? Okay, this is where I'm going to call a friend. So Megan Stokes, can you help us out on this one? I think the answer is yes, but please.
So for these SBIR awards, it'll be the standard SBIR rules will apply that for phase one, the small business awardee can subcontract 1/3 of the work. And for phase two, they can subcontract up to 50% of the work, and that can be with whomever they choose, whether it's an academic partner, another small business, a larger firm. But it'll be within the guidelines of the program and within the award.
Megan, thank you for that. Again, appreciate the input on that. Other questions here. We have a new one that just came in from Selim Gano. I think this question was skipped. Focus area number four. Given the varying facilities that supply would need to move around, is there a sample or notional site that we should use as a case for use case demonstration? Okay, is there a sample or notional site? For the purposes of a phase one site, I would anticipate that you could envision a fairly level area between which to transport the different items with a minimal amount. I will leave it to your discretion of the complexities that you think your system would be able to negotiate. I want to make sure I'm answering your question here, Sal. Sample or notional site. I think for the notional site configuration and so forth, in addition to generally flat, they want to consider moderately advantageous climate, weather. You know, maybe it's not snowing. You don't have to negotiate ice, and visibility is reasonable. So again, I ask for your help to bound for us what you think would be possible. So hopefully that answers your question, Matt. Another question from Chris Van Valkenburg. Is there an objective or minimum TRL prior to phase one award and an intended TRL upon completion of phase one? So I want to make sure I don't misstate this. So can I reach out again over to Megan for this one?
So even for a standard phase one, I think that the TRL is around four for a phase one, and that might be at completion. I'm actually not 100% sure on the TRL level anticipated.
May I offer this then as a general go-by for as you look at consider your proposals for this particular topic? We are seeking solutions to rapidly get from an early TRL all the way through TRL number 9. As you look at this, that period of performance for phase one of 4 months, if we can do it in 3 months or in 2 months and rapidly accelerate this, those capabilities are needed. So even if you have a lower TRL, we'll happily take that if you can help us understand how we can rapidly transition that all the way through the phase one, the phase two, and ultimately the phase three. That's what we're trying to go after. Again, all within the constraints of the ADAPT program and then the funding thresholds that are applied to this mechanism. So, Megan, hopefully I haven't spoken out of turn there, but as a general go-by, as you look at your proposals, please approach them accordingly.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. We do have another question regards to state agencies. I don't know, Megan, if you can take the one, the question from, looks like I, McMurrin. Are state agencies qualified to apply either solo or with other public partners? Is private sector involvement required?
No. So this, the SBIR program is limited to small businesses for any, eligibility requirements. You can visit SBIR.gov, but only small businesses are eligible to apply.
Okay. Very good. Megan, again, thank you. Let's go over to a question from Sri. It says, for focus area number one, are you looking for a physical solution that includes equipment that helps with mobility? Or are you looking for technology solutions that aid in planning and information sharing? Help us understand what's possible. In its idealized form, we want to physically go affect maintenance forward. So information technology stuff is great. Don't get me wrong. It allows us to understand things tremendously. But we need to affect the PIPs. And from that standpoint, we ask that as you consider your solutions or your proposals to focus area number one, you recognize there's a digital piece there, but at the end of the day, we need to be able to go physically affect the pairs. So hopefully, Sri, that answers your question. Okay, over to Rick. It says, for question number 7, or for focus area number 7, to clarify, notional site for me, could we assume deployment and installation of the phase one deliverable by us at a Navy site of our choosing? This affects costs and logistics. I think that we can definitely negotiate for the demonstration of the phase one to make sure that it is viable. I'm not necessarily going to say we're going to open up a specific installation. That obviously has some challenges that we need to come through, but I think for the purposes of your phase one proposal, you can definitely advocate that this be demonstrated at a Navy depot installation that may be proximate to where your plumb is. So hopefully that answers your question, and I understand that definitely affects your costs and your logistics. Okay, very good. I see that. Yeah. Okay, other questions that may be out there? Again, we'll hold online here for any other questions from the floor. Okay, I have a new one here, area number 3. Will some samples of parts names with errors be provided? Absolutely, because again, our goal is to provide data that can demonstrate the vibrancy and the efficacy of your system set. So the answer to your question there is yes, we would anticipate that we would give you erroneous data, knowingly erroneous, and then identify that as, ensuring that your algorithm. Okay, another question has come in from LJ, focus area number 7. Is more indoor building or infrastructure? So focus area number 7 relates to facility health monitoring and prioritization. Let me answer your question this way, LJ. Ideally, we would like to capture all of it. And when we talk about infrastructure or facility health monitoring, we're not talking about just the structure itself, but all of the interplay between the things that support that structure and the operations inside of that facility. So that's why we use the word facility was kind of the idea that it's all those facets. If the solution set that you have only takes a portion of that, if it only addresses the mechanical infrastructure or the fluid infrastructure, what have you, got it, we'll happily take that proposal and understand, hey, this is as far as we can get right now. And, again, we'll start to go look to address that capability need that we're seeking. Thank you, LJ. Another question on focus area number 2 from Sri. Does Navy have technical manuals for its platforms provided by platform manufacturers? Second part of that question is, do these technical manuals have details of repair instructions included in frequent ones? Third facet, a good question, or are these repair knowledge more tribal and not documented? Oh, good heavens. The repair instructions come from a variety of different sources. I have my cohort in crime over here going, yes, they do. They truly come from the original equipment manufacturers. They also come from engineering authorities that exist in each of the organizations that are making sure that those systems operate as we need them for our purposes. So they truly span, yes, the manufacturers. They span also technical manuals that are organic to us. They do have, in some cases, infrequent repair instructions, but in some cases they are the baseline of the repair instructions. They may not capture the nuances that an experienced artisan craftsman person may know how to do, because they've done that job periodically, or the last time they did this, they had to do something special. And I think that answers your final part there about the tribal knowledge aspect. So hopefully, Sri, that answers your question. And Johannes over here is saying, yes, that sounds about right. A lot of tribal knowledge out there, too. Other questions that may be out there? Okay, another one from Josh Spooner. Okay, so we have a question that says, if there is something that is outside the focus area that would still benefit or revolutionize the Navy capability, would you like to learn about the technology, or is there another channel to submit these types of proposals? Okay, so to Josh, for the purposes of the ADAPT protocol and for the focus areas that are encompassed in this N201 TACX02 topic, that will be the mechanism by which you can provide that. I know that we are seeking other solutions that are out there, but this mechanism won't be the manner by which you can do that. If you have other solutions that the Navy could benefit from, we absolutely welcome them. And I recognize I'm going to probably get inundated. You're welcome to send that to me. But recognize that this mechanism that we have is funded and has a group of folks behind it that are trying to go advance that. So I offer some caution there. You're welcome to submit it. It may not pass the screening of the different focus areas or the topic area that we're trying to cover here. So hopefully that answers your question, John. Let's see here. Question from Jay, everyone. For topic area number two, focus area number two, is there an expectation that the tribal knowledge be captured and used in the work order instruction? In an idealized state, the answer will be yes. It may be captured in a variety of different documents that have been crafted. When we go do repairs on certain activities, we may write down, hey, we encountered this thing, and the tribal knowledge that may be applied on that site-specific or that unique item may be captured there. But we don't have any expectation that you're going to somehow data port to people with brains on this one. But take the data that are out there and ultimately synthesize how that goes in. Okay. That's it. Okay. I have a question from Sri. Can you talk more about focus area number eight? Why do you need a common operating picture? Can you elaborate on the term common operating picture? And hopefully some examples will help. I'm guessing that there is a lack of global view of Navy depots, including metrics. So the Navy is a wonderfully large organization and wonderfully dynamic. And specifically on topic area number eight, we have I don't even begin to pretend to know how many hundreds of thousands of folks that work across the Department of Navy in multiple different organizations. And each of those organizations has their own way of looking at certain things, and they have their own way of managing some of those aspects. And whether that be internal to shipyards or across shipyards or internal to fleet readiness centers and across readiness centers and so forth, that ability to have that common operating picture right now is not present. It's something that we're trying to understand from the standpoint that if I go back to a seismic event, potentially, say, in the Pacific Northwest, I need to now go affect aircraft repair or vehicle or ship repair. I need to be able to know, hey, where do I have extra capability and flexibility and potentially maybe even the same equipment, and now I can shift my workforce and still continue to repair those particular items. So from that standpoint, that's what we're trying to get at with this common operating picture is being able to see the one vantage of the overall system and have the wherewithal to have the flexibility to move things as we might need in order to meet the readiness requirements that we have. So hopefully, Sri, that answers your question again. Feel free if I missed a piece or you have more questions on that, put more in the chat box there. Okay, no questions. I'm going to grab some water here. Hour and 20, still going. We'll give folks another few moments here. Again, I can't impress upon you folks enough that we are seeking these solutions for our depots, and we're asking for your help to identify that next generation of solution set that we can bring to our Navy. Question from Paul Regan. Does the demonstration at the end of phase one have to take place on a Navy facility? For example, if the prototype demonstration is weather-dependent, can the demonstration take place at a location where a specific weather condition is more frequent or could be created artificially? Absolutely. If your prototype demonstration requires beaches and sand and sunshine, such as it's Hawaii, we may have to have some discussion on that, but absolutely, it does not have to take place on a Navy facility. So hopefully that answers your question. Question on focus area number two from James Mitchell. What formats does the maintenance data use? Free text, structured data, video, etc. My experience on this, and I'm going to answer it from a proposal perspective, is you'd anticipate that it would be text and largely in databases or data systems. I don't know that you're going to have much in the way of video maintenance data that we can presently model. And I say that from a ship perspective. I don't know that there's any variation with the the aircraft or the vehicle perspective right now. But I think from a going-in perspective, I anticipate that it's largely just data from a specific database. So, James, hopefully that answers your question. Other questions that may be out there? Keep them coming.
Hey, Steve, I have no idea how to use the texting tool, so can I ask it verbally?
Certainly.
So on 6, the global parts tracking, there's so many levels of that problem. There's the physical, you know, identification of a marking, reading, then databasing, and then assimilating all the information. Are you looking for solutions across, like anything across the board, like anything that helps that, or something specific? Is it just the software, or is it just the hardware?
Can you continue to expand on your question, because I'm not fully following you quite yet?
So to track the parts, you have to, first they need to be marked, then they need identified, marked, you know, physically marked, then they need to be able to be read later on so you can identify them exactly. Then they need to be stored, so uniquely marked, right? And then stored.
Oh, did we lose you there?
Maybe. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, so my question is, there's many levels of the problem. The physical marking, physical reading, databasing, synthesizing the information to be accessible. Open.
Okay, so
solutions across the board.
Yeah, so help us understand, if you have a solution that addresses all those facets, keenly interested. If you have a solution that addresses a subset of all those facets, interested as well. Recognize the Navy, Teddy Roosevelt had some comments on the Navy as well. Recognize the Navy is a very large organization. But again, if you can illuminate to us and help us understand how we need to go change the way that we're doing our process so that we can achieve that type of a capability, absolutely welcome it.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, looks like we had a couple more questions that have come in here. Let's see here. So we have a question from Salem Gano related to focus area number 4. How often do warehouse and deployment operations change? Does the same warehouse currently have the same processes from year to year and between different operations, such as stocking and inventory, sending in and out, and so forth? And he also has a question here, are there any restrictions as to one firm submitting multiple proposals? Okay, let me take the first set of questions here from Salem here. The operations right now for a specific warehouse are largely at least localized to a specific maintenance operation. So case in point, we may have a warehouse associated with a fleet readiness center that deals with warehousing parts predominantly for aviation maintenance. Right. Similarly, you may have a warehouse associated with Marine Corps maintenance for vehicles and so forth. Similarly, for the ships, for the ship repair. From that standpoint, they have an ebb and flow of materials that are associated with that type of a function. So I would anticipate that you would see roughly the same warehouse having the same processes from year to year and generally kind of roughly the same type of inventory. So hopefully, Salem, that answers that first part of the question. The second question that you had was, are there any restrictions as to one firm submitting multiple proposals to the focus areas? Game on. Go for it. Again, we'll review each and every one of those and sit through this. So if you have different ways to potentially solve the same problem and want to present those, we're receptive to receiving. Let's see here. Jack has a question as far as the web address for the submission. Can we repeat the web address? Absolutely. So I'll speak it very clearly here. It's https://www.dod.gov/ submissions, submissions/login, login. Hopefully that answered your question there. And again, welcome you all to submit your information. Megan's posted that link on the chat there as well. Question from Jay to everyone. Are the maintenance data entered digitally, or is some of it still captured on paper? For the purposes of the different focus areas, anticipate that it will be digitized. It may be in a PDF type of a format, but it will have been digitized at that point. There are definitely locations within the Navy depot maintenance provider community where we still do a lot of things with written paper and ink signatures and so forth. So anticipate that although we do paper, the information provided to you would be digitally available. Hopefully, Jay, that answers your question. Let's see if we got that. Okay. We have a question here from Zhanghai. Will the phase one or two be classified? No. Rest assured, I tried to allude to this in the very beginning. We have no intentions of providing or trying to manage any classified information as a result of this particular topic call. We will scrub all the information and make sure that, again, to safeguard you and to safeguard us, that all of the data are completely unclassified. So I hope that helps answer your question. More questions or comments? Again, we've got a half hour left on our available time for any additional questions. For those that may not have the web interface, let me open up the phone lines. If you called in, if you have any questions that you'd like addressed in today's discussion.
Sir, we have a question.
Please.
Yes. Topics 5 and 8 seem to be addressing the same need. Can you articulate the differences between the two?
Absolutely. So topic number 5 talks specifically about the model-based vantage of how we depict our facilities, how we digitize those facilities, right? And specifically, it's how do we take these different models that are out there and fuse them together to create a digital representation. But that model-based environment doesn't include all of the material movement, doesn't include a lot of the other facets that could be out there. So focus area number eight, talks about how do we synthesize not only that model-based facet, how do we synthesize that then with all the other pieces to truly create a holistic vantage of how our repair facilities are operating and how we have flexibilities there. Does that help with the clarification? Number 5, albeit massive, is a subset, if you will, of topic number 8.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Other questions from the phone lines that may be out there may not have the web interface? Okay. I don't intend to hold everybody hostage here, so let me go through some final closing comments. If I may. Again, if you have other comments as we're coming on to this, feel free to throw them up there, and then we'll go ahead and call this. The DAP program is intended by design to rapidly come through this SBIR process. And the topic M201-XO2 specifically is intended to rapidly address how we can go improve the way we do our readiness operations at our various depots, at our shipyards, at our fleet readiness centers, at our at our Marine Corps logistics sites as well. As you look at potentially submitting a proposal for this, help us understand how we can rapidly do this. We're seeking your entrepreneurial leadership and vision to bring these capabilities into the Navy, to bring them into our readiness operations so that we can support those people that are protecting our freedoms in our country. The topic opens on Tuesday. At that point in time, you'll be able to submit your proposals and so forth. As you have questions, I encourage you, submit them via the CITIS interface, and all that's detailed on the Navy CIBR site. And we will address those. I think we have like a one-week time frame within which to get back to you and address those questions. But it's a five-page proposal. Help us understand what's possible so that we can address these particular focus areas for the defense. If you have questions on any of this, there's a whole infrastructure there to help get answers on the process and so forth. We've already talked about the CITIS site. We've talked about where to go submit. But there's also a help desk number if you need to talk to them on, hey, I've got my proposal, I'm ready to go, but I'm struggling on this. Feel free, don't hesitate to call 703-214-1333 for the DOD SBIR STTR help desk. And they can help walk you through that process to make sure that your proposal gets considered and reviewed by the group of folks from the various departments. As we look at each of these focus areas, please, again, don't be bashful. If your solution hits more than one of the focus areas, we encourage you, please submit it, one, and please help us understand how it may tie in multiple different facets so that that we can do that. When you submit your proposal, you'll have one focus area that you'll, you know, put as a primary, and then you can identify other areas, focus areas that you're also supporting. And we look forward to those, again, trying to bring these capabilities into our Navy people. If there's anything else that I wanted to offer, really close. I'll do one last thing here. Okay, so just for those that may be on the telephone and may not have access to the chat, there's some discussion in regards to the submittals. It says, which of the links, the two forms will we need to fill out? Megan has responded on chat that we'll need to fill out the two templates, both of them, for the technical volume, volume 2, and the supporting documents volume, volume 5. The Navy CIBR.com or NavyCIBR.com link, and again, to the links and forums link that's on the left-hand side of that page. The remaining volume is a cover sheet, the volume on all the other stuff, will be completed to that DOD CIBR STTR site that we've talked about here that I've given you guys now a couple times that you want. Okay, I want to do a quick shout over to Megan for any final comments that she may have, and then we'll go ahead and look to conclude our discussion here today. Megan, anything else on the mechanics that you'd like to offer for everybody?
Just a couple quick notes. The DSIPS, the DOD SBIR Innovation Portal, it is new. So for those small businesses that have participated with DOD SBIR before, the new link is what we're advertising today that goes to DSIP. So even the registration should carry over, but there might be an extra step. And as Steve has mentioned, if you need any assistance logging into this new innovation portal, go ahead and reach out to the DOD help desk and they can help you get access. But once you're in there, if you have submitted to DOD before, all of your firm's information should be there. Also, for those that are not familiar with submitting to DOD, I put in the chat just a bit ago that the cover page and the cost information, those will be filled out online. They're online templates that you answer a series of questions and provide information. But for the tech volume, you will upload. That will be an upload to the DSIP portal. And then also for volume 5, which is for supporting documents, that will also be an upload to the DSIP portal. Otherwise, take advantage of this pre-release period where not only for Steve, but for any of the TPOCs listed in the BAA, you can communicate with them directly starting on the 14th, whenever this BAA opens. communication will be limited to DOD's online Q&A platform, which is called CITUS. You can still ask questions, but the questions are posted publicly as well as the answers. So you can link to CITUS via DOD's website, which is sbir.defensebusiness.org.
Thank you, Megan. I want to put a plug in for my own self-preservation, if I may. If you have questions, as much as I would love to talk with all the folks that are on the line, and I just got a report that we have a whole bunch of folks that weren't able to dial in, so I think we maxed out the web line here for today. I encourage you, please submit your queries via the CITUS site, and that way I make sure that I get back with you, that I answer your question, if you've got it in writing, that it's absolutely clear. I apologize, you know, there's a limited amount of time between now and when the project call goes out and ultimately we close the project call. Please use that CITUS site, and that'll allow us to make sure we get an answer back to you. And I apologize if you try to get in touch with me, I'm not able to immediately respond or respond to you. Please don't take any offense. I absolutely would love to talk with all of you, but again, just there's only so many hours in the day too. So again, Megan, thank you for joining us today. For those that are on the line, I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be here for this discussion. Again, feel free to go back to the Navy cyber site here in the coming days when you can download or watch this video again and hear the discussion. Again, for those that were not able to attend, my apologies for that. And again, I encourage you to hopefully pose questions with the CITUS site and look forward to your proposals as we are attempting to address readiness issues within the Navy, but also that have implications well beyond the Navy within the DOD and within private industry as well. So sincerely to everyone online today, thank you for your time. And I think at this point, we'll go ahead and conclude the webinar as we don't have any other comments. So thank you, everyone, and we look forward to receiving your proposals. Thank you.